Luke chapter 15. I was in camp meeting all this week, and praise God, just want to say two quick words. One, I appreciate our men of the church here. They filled in Wednesday night for me. I heard some good reports, which I didn't expect anything other than that. But I'm glad. I just want publicly say thank God for some good deacons that hold up the preacher's hands and pray for him and encourage him. And I've got some good men. I thank God for them. And I was in camp meeting this week, and God spoke my heart. You might say, you preachers, y'all run around these camp meetings. Is that like vacation time? No, I was so tired. I was slap wore out. We sitting out there Friday night for Brother Keith, and Rita looks over at me and she said, "You look tired." I said, "I am." But I'm glad God did a work in this old boy's heart. And you see, when he does that, helps me, then I can help you. And you see, as a preacher, sometimes you're giving out and you're giving and giving, and you need a little bit of coming in this way. And that's what those meetings are for, and I praise God for it. But the other thing I want to say real quick is I praise the Lord for answered prayer. And many of you, I know this church and many others have been praying for Rebecca and her eyes. And she had eye surgery a week ago Friday. Sister Gail, she had the surgery a week ago Friday. And while I was in camp meeting this week, she called, and Brenda took her to get her eyes examined, to get new glasses. And 2 weeks ago, her glasses, if y'all know anything about eyeglasses, whatever, what, dear, 5.5 or something? Plus five. And when they fitted her for glasses, and she got glasses this week, it's -2. -2. Wow. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. He did it. Amen. He's worthy. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Charlie. He's coming in after falling and getting hurt and banged up. And thank God for you this morning. Amen, brother. God bless you this morning. Luke chapter 15. God gave me this message this week. Did you say you get it from another preacher? No, sir. God gave it to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Luke chapter 15. If you can stand with me, please do. Just as we read the Word of God together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And you can be seated. I'm preaching on the thought, on the subject this morning, of father's love. A father's love. Luke chapter 15, beginning, if you would please, in verse 11. And the Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and went and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I'll go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And his son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring forth the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found, and they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, we need your help and power. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, right now for even answering my prayer even today. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us. And God, you want to give us the good pleasure. And you want to give us the favor of God. I pray for every man that is here today. God, I pray for every dad that is here today. Father, I pray that you'd anoint and fill us and use us for the glory of God. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. And my mind, just while I was praying, we do have some gifts, right? Okay, we'll wait. Make sure I don't forget that. Y'all, brother, you didn't say a word about it. And anyhow, I'm putting all the blame on you. Amen. That's like Miss Dana. She broke her foot. And I said, how'd you do that? It was Jeffrey's fault. I said, oh, ain't that the truth? Amen. Pass the book. All right. But we do have, we have something for every dad, but then also we have something. So please, well, just hang on, all right? Just hang on. And I know, Brother Jessup, you're probably the oldest dad here, so we got something for you. So if you'll hang on just a little while, and we'll get that to you, okay? Amen. Let's get back to this, because this is the important part, right, Sister Gail? This is the important part. Luke chapter 15. Most time when you hear a preacher preach on Luke 15, we preach about the prodigal son. And rightly so, because here is a boy who is indeed a prodigal, who left home, went away, wasted his father's inheritance, and then came back. And so, but I got to thinking this week over the prodigal's father, the dad here in the home. And I want to share with you about four or five things that God gave me this week. And how many fathers we got in this building? Lift your hand real high. Lift it high if you're not ashamed. Lift it high. All right, guys, put your hands back down.
Lily's lifting her hand.
Glory to God. You know, the Lord dealt with my heart, Brother Steve, in the fact that I need to be the kind of dad that God wants me to be. I need to have the love that God wants me to have. And I'm preaching this morning on a father's love. And so here in this story, I want you to see some things. We've read the passages together. I want you to see with me, and go with me here, and let's think, put our minds upon the father that is in the story. And of course, this is illustrated of God, our Heavenly Father. And by the way, my friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know our Heavenly Father. You might say, I know about God. I've heard about God. I've been to church before. But unless you know God in a personal way, he's not your father until you're birthed into the family of God. Can I get an amen right there? And that's what we're here for. We want to see you saved if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Heavenly Father. But here this morning, I want you to see this earthly Father. And as we see this earthly Father, I want us men that you raise your hand, I want us to think about the type of Father that we are. And the first thing I see in these verses, first of all, I see, and if you want to write them down, you can. These are some things God gave me. I see a dedicated Father. I see a dedicated father. Here's a man, according to the Bible, the scripture indicates that this man, he had a house, and he had servants in that house. And so evidently here's a man that had accumulated a certain amount of wealth. Here's a man, by some token, some measure, that God had blessed him to where he had a certain amount of goods, and probably he had been a hard-working man. Maybe that the things that he had labored hard for. Maybe he had scraped and saved. And Brother Steve, he's probably like you and me that would say, I want to be able to provide something for my children so they don't have it as tough as what we had. And all the men that believe that, say amen. I mean, I thank God for the dad I had. He raked and scraped, and we grew up on the mill side of town, and Reed's been over there near Edna Cotton Mill, and so I know what it was like. Like my sisters, we said, we was poor, we just didn't know we was poor. We had food on the table, and we'd have shoes, we'd have clothes, but my dad worked hard for what he got.
And so here I find that there is a dad here. I'm sure that he worked long hours and he tried to provide the best he could for his home. And God had blessed him. He now has an accumulation of goods. He has an accumulation of wealth. He had to have had some type of wealth in order to have servants in the home. So I see, first of all, here is a dedicated man. Second of all, I see, though there is a divided house. For as you read this passage, there is the mention of the father, there's the mention of the younger brother, there's a mention of the older brother, but there is not a mention of a mother. And we know he had to have had a wife at one time to have two sons, but she's not in the picture. And I got to thinking about this, and I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know what happened to his wife. Maybe she died and left him to raise those two boys. Maybe she was found another man and left and committed adultery, left the home. I do not know. But here is what I see. Is that there is a dedicated father, but there is a divided home. And here there is a man who is trying to do his best, trying to raise two boys on their own, on his own. And here is a dad trying to be both mother and father to two children, two boys. I don't know about you, but I believe he had his hands full. Would you not say amen to that? I mean, let's just put it in the vernacular. I mean, yes, he had some servants, and yes, he probably had some people maybe to come in and wash dishes. You know, Sister Gail, my daughter, she and my wife here, and they often used to talk about, well, years ago, why don't we get a dishwasher so we don't need a dishwasher. We already got two dishwashers saved in there. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about electric time. I'm talking about. But I'm sure that here he had servants, he had many servants, many servants, he had all. But yet, my friend, there was the need in the home. There was not a mother, there was not somebody that when the other boy could come in and maybe he got hurt or maybe somebody said something bad about him or whatever, he had a bad day. He didn't have a mother that he could lay his head on her shoulder and weep and cry and say, Mama, could you just hold me just a little bit? He did have a dad. But he didn't have a mother in that story. I got to thinking about that, and across our country today and across America today, there is an absence of a two-parent family. It was said just last year the number of children living in a single-parent home has nearly doubled since 1960, according to the latest census of 2010. The Washington Times went on to say this, that in all over 50 states, as the total number of American households with children increased by 160,000, the number of two-parent households decreased by 1.2 million. Sister Gail, I would imagine that many, I'm just saying this, I'm guessing, but many of the young men where you go into the jails and go into the prisons, and I would venture to say many of those came maybe from a one-parent home many times. We see it in our school systems. We see it across our country today that many times there's a single parent. And God bless you this morning, ladies. God bless you, sir, if you're trying to raise that family by yourself. My hat goes off to you. But my friend, may I say to you that one-third of American children, a total of 15 million, are being raised without a father. And nearly 5 million more live in a home that does not have a mother. There is a divided home. Brother Steve, I can almost imagine this man. He's got these two boys. I don't know how long his wife had been out of the picture. Don't know how long, but I believe this, beloved. He was doing all that he could for those two boys. I believe that he tried to do his best with those two boys. I believe he loved them two boys. I believe, my friend, he took them both in at night. I believe he said the prayers with them. I believe he tried to provide for them. He tried to be both mother and father to those two boys. And I believe he loved the two boys with all his heart. Y'all agree with me? The third thing I see here, there is a disturbing request.
For if you read this passage, here you find here that the younger of the two boys came to him one day, and notice what the Bible said. Now let me explain this. And he says in verse number 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. Now I used to read that and I just thought, here was a greedy son, and here was a boy that wanted his inheritance. And yes, indeed, what he was saying is that I wish you were dead, and I wish that I go ahead and get what belongs to me now. But that's not the whole story. That's not the whole picture. For when I studied this, I found this out. In that day, there was a law that was written, Brother Brawley. There was a law that was on books. That if a father had mistreated his children, if he was a bad father, if he was a neglectful father, if he was an abusive father, the law said that the son could ask the father to give him his share of the inheritance and move out, and then that would go before a magistrate, and the magistrate would determine whether or not the father was a good father if the son was telling the truth or not. And so in essence, here's what happened, Sister Gail, is that this younger boy, he comes to his father and he says, you're not a good daddy. You're not a good dad. Now, he was lying. But he was saying to his dad, in essence, I want my money, and I'm going to get it any way that I can get it. And so he's charging his dad with abuse. He's charging his dad with neglect. He's charging his dad with mistreating him. Now, by law, this would have gone to the court, this would have gone to the judge, to the magistrate, and the magistrate would have heard the cases, he would have heard all the evidence, and he would have made a decision. Now, if that boy had charged his dad falsely, then the judge would fine him a tremendous fine for a false accusation. But instead, you see what happened. The father willingly gives that son a portion of his goods. I don't know about y'all. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. If one of your children had come to you and said, you're not a good mother, you're not a good daddy, and I want what's coming to me, and I want it right now. You know what, Brother Steve? I would probably just fall back and say, listen, I've done the best I can do. I've tried to provide for you. I've sacrificed, I've stripped, and I've saved, and your mother's not living. How dare you insult me? How dare you even insinuate I haven't been a good dad? If that had been me, I'd have probably said, look, just go ahead and get your bags and hit the road, Jack. Don't look back no more, no more. But not this day. Not this day. Not this day. But Stephen's dad loved his son so much. And that he was willing to say, son, if that's how you view me as a dad. Son, if you really do believe that I've been a bad daddy, then I'll give you the portion of the goods that's coming to you. And according to the book of Deuteronomy, that was the amount of one-third of his wealth. One-third. And the Bible says here that he gave him what he asked for. The son demanded his inheritance. It was a direct attack on the father's character. You've hurt me. You've injured me. I don't want to be in your presence any longer. I don't want to live in your home anymore. I don't want to listen to you any longer. I know what's coming to me, and I'm getting out of here. Don't you know that broke his heart? Put yourself in that place. Maybe some of you have been there. Maybe some of you daddies, you've invested all of your life and your energy. You've stripped and you've saved and you've tried to do your best. You've tried to raise your kids the best way. And then they turn and they put the knife in your heart and they'll stab you. And you say, oh God, why? But yet, you still lie. shalom. And I'm so glad this morning that we've got a Heavenly Father that regardless of how we treated Him, regardless of what we've said, regardless if we cursed His holy name, regardless if we shunned Him, turned our back on Him, regardless of how we've hurt God, He still loves us. Dad divided as a substance and gave to his son. Now notice what happens.
The Bible says in the next verse, in verse 13, and not many days after the younger son left. Why did he do that? That brings me to the number four thing, a departing son. You see, that I believe this, that he knew that he was lying. He knew that he was accusing his dad of falsehood, that his daddy had been a good daddy.
I believe his daddy tried to raise that boy the best he could. I believe that daddy was an example of our Heavenly Father. I believe that daddy loved God. I believe that daddy prayed. I believe that daddy worshiped God. I believe that daddy was a good example. I believe he was a good man. And that boy said, Daddy, I'm getting out of here. You know why? Because he knew those accusations were false. He knew that if it went before the judge, he knew if it went before the magistrate would say, case dismissed. I find you at fault, son. You're the guilty one. You pay the fine. You've got a good day. He had a departing son. Can you imagine? Maybe one morning, Brother Steve, the dad got up. The mother's not in the home. There's not a mom there. There's not a... And so he goes by. Maybe he even has breakfast ready. And he calls to his younger son, son, come on down. Breakfast is ready. There's no answer. Son, come on down. Your older brother's already down here. We're ready to eat. Come on down. Join us for breakfast. There's no sound. Maybe he just walks to his room, opens the door, and there's a bed that hadn't been slept in. He left without even saying goodbye. He left without even a hug. He left without even saying, Daddy, I love you. Don't you know, Brother Rawley, that stabbed that man to the heart to think, oh, listen, my boy, my son, not only did he falsely accuse me, not only did he lie about me, not only did I give him a third of the inheritance, but now he didn't even have the courtesy, he didn't have the decency to say, Daddy, I'm leaving. He just got up one day and departed. He was getting out of Dodge as quick as he could because he knew if he stood around, if he stayed around, he'd go before the judge and the judge would say, son, you're the guilty one. You're at fault.
But he's getting out of Dodge. My friend, I wonder how many of you are sitting here this morning, that son or daughter has broken your heart. You can react one of two ways. You can get bitter, you can get angry, or either you can say, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. There's probably not a mom sitting here this morning that's not had that to happen at some point in time. I had a preacher friend of mine call me and said, can I meet you? I said, yeah, sure. And we sat down together. He began to tell me his story. And he said, Brother Frank, what hurt me the most is when my daughter looked at you and said, I hate you. I hate you. Can you imagine the hurt of his dad?
Can you imagine if that had been you or me? We'd have said, forget him. He's out of the picture. Have a good life. Good riddance. Don't come back again.
But not this difference.
I believe that dad dropped down to his knees. And I believe that dad began to cry. And he began to pray. And he began to bewail before God. God, you know, I don't know where my boy is tonight. I don't know where he's at. I don't know where he's taken off to. You know where he's at. God, you know what he's doing. You know his heart, God. You know he's a good boy. He's been raised in a good home. He's been raised. Listen, by the way, Proverbs said this. It train up a child in the way that he should go. When he them, and he will not depart from it. Amen. Hey, parents, let me tell you something. You might have a wayward son or daughter. You might have one that's not saved. They grew up in your presence. They grew up in your home. They went to church. Maybe they didn't come to this church. They heard the teaching. They heard the preaching. They were sitting in Sunday school. They went to vacation Bible school. They went to camp. They did all those things. But right now, they're not out. They're not in church. They're outside the will of God. Friend, can I tell you something? Your prayers can get them back where they need to be. Say amen. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. Don't turn your back on them. Say, my God's help. He will bring them back. So his son departed. And you know the story. He got down in the far country. But then I see here number 5. I see there's a devoted father. He was devoted. He loved God and he loved his boys. Scripture doesn't say it, but I believe he was a man of prayer. I believe this man was a man of prayer. I believe he knew what it was to reach up and get a hold of the throne of God. I believe he knew what it was to beseech the Lord and pray and pray and pray and pray. How many of you today would say, preacher, I'm in church today because of my daddy praying for me. I'm in church today because my mother prayed for me. How many of you lift your hand up and say, I'm here because my parents prayed for me. Would you lift that hand? Amen. And I believe this dad prayed and prayed and prayed. I want to challenge every man right here. If you don't get anything else, I want you to hear me right now for the next 3 minutes. Men, we must be men of prayer. I'm not talking about asking the blessings before you die. Men, I hope you do that. But men, I want to challenge you right here, right now. We've got to be men of conviction. We've got to be men of courage. We've got to be men that will lead our homes, lead our families. But Brother Steve, most of all, we have got to be men of prayer. We've got to know what it is to be able to pray and get through to God. We've got to be able to pray and not cease in prayer. We've got to be a man of God that will stand today with our backs to the wall and with our faces toward heaven and say, God, in Jesus' name, I pray for my children. I pray for my son. I pray for my daughter. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for the great-grandkids. I pray, God, save them. Use them for the glory of God. Bob Carden, such a sweet, dear man, 82 years of age, pastoring full-time, preaches on radio every day down in Bladenburg, North Carolina. Sweet, loves God. He preached this week with a herniated disc. He goes tomorrow morning to have an injection, put some cement in his spine so that he can function, 82 years of age. He said, Brother Frank, God was good to me. God gave me four girls and one boy. Brother Bobby pastored in Durham, North Carolina. I preached at the church, Union Grove Baptist Church, where Brother Bobby used to pastor. God gave him four girls and one boy. He said, I prayed for every one of them that my girls would marry a preacher and that God would call my son into the ministry. He said, all four girls married a preacher. My son never was called a preacher, but he served God in his church. But he said, I was in Durham, North Carolina, and pastored. And my daughter got sick, real sick, and in Duke Hospital on a Sunday afternoon. He walked into the hospital room. His daughter breathed her last breath. He said, I took the sheet, pulled it up over her lifeless body. I kissed her. I went back, and he said, a great crowd had gathered at the church parsonage. He said, I walked in and said, what are y'all doing here? Well, preacher, we're here. Your daughter just died. He said, yeah, let's go to church. Let's have church. He said, I went next door to the church and preached on Psalm, how precious in the sight is the death of his saints. Glory to God. Yes. That's the kind of death I want to be. A man of faith. Notice here these verses quickly this morning. I find here is a devoted dad. But then the last thing is I find there's a dad with the kind of love that I need. The Bible says that prodigal son decided that he'd come back home. Somebody said this, it was hunger that drove the prodigal to come home, not the love for his father, but it was the father's love for him that accepted him. Oftentimes people come to the Lord for a variety of reasons.
Sometimes they come to the Lord because they have a broken home, out of desperation, drug addiction. But the Father doesn't say, I want you to come on one condition. He says, you come as you are. We come to the Lord sometime because we have needs and burdens. We come to the Lord sometime because our home's in shambles or because of a wayward son or daughter. And God says, doesn't matter how you come, just come on, because it's the love of God. He says, I want to have a relationship with you, regardless of the circumstances that draw you, regardless of the situation. I want to have a relationship with you. I love you. I can see that, Dad. I believe every day he'd get up, and I believe he'd tell that older son, son, I'm going to go to the end of the road today,
and I'm going to wait for your younger brother. And I believe that older brother was looking at his dad and said, Daddy, Daddy, you've been doing this for weeks. You've been doing this for months. Daddy, when are you going to stop? Daddy, how many of you ever heard this? Daddy, he'll never change. Daddy, he'll never get right with God. You're wasting your time. But Brother Steve, that old dad said, son, don't matter. If I die, I try. Amen. If I die, I try. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because one of these days, just a gal. One of these days, I'm going to be telling that older boy, one of these days, son, your brother is going to come back home. I believe God. I believe he's going to do it. You see, that man didn't know what day his son was coming, but he left every day expecting his son to come back. And glory to God, he's out there that day. Brother Steve, I believe he's out on that dirt road, and all of a sudden he sees a small figure in the distance. He sees a ragged boy. He sees a boy that has been wasted with the things of this world, been living with harlots, and spent all the dimes that he had. Didn't have a dime to his name. He didn't even have clothes on his back. He was half naked. And that old dad, he ran and fell on him. And here's what the Bible said. Watch it there. And the Bible said, and he ran in verse number 20. Look at there. That's the only time in the Word of God that God is pictured as being in a hurry. And you know why God's in a hurry? Because any sinner that takes one step toward the Savior, my God gets in a hurry. You listen, you know why? He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to say, son, come on home. Come on home. I love you. I want to provide for you. I want this love next to you. I want you to be close to me. And that old man right there. I know there's something there. Y'all help me out. Help me out now. How many of you got your Bible and say amen?
Amen.
Two or three of them. And the Bible said there, and he fell on his neck, and what's that next word?
Yes.
Say it aloud. Yes. I can't hear you.
Yes.
Well, Steve, I'm not going to kiss you. Don't worry. Brother Steve, the way that is interpreted is it's not just the way that's interpreted. This is he kept on kissing. He kissed him. And he kept kissing. And he kept kissing. He kept kissing. Why?
Because here is a father that has a son that's been outside the will of God. That's been, he's lied about his daddy. He's wasted his inheritance. He's been living with harlots. He's covered in muck and mire. He's been down in the hog pen. But my friend, that old boy, that old man, he fell on his neck. And friend, that didn't matter. The mud didn't matter. It didn't matter what he'd done, how far he'd gotten away. He started kissing him and kissing him and kissing him and kissing him. Why? Because he said, this was my son that was lost and is now found. Oh, thank God he came home.
Amen.
Knows what he did for him. Put a ring on his finger.
It's been a while since I performed a wedding. been a while since I stood before a couple. For those of you that's got a wedding ring on, here's what I usually say. When you take that wedding ring, that ring is a symbol of endless love. There's no beginning and there's no end. It's one complete circle. And when that bridegroom and that bride slipped that wedding ring on the finger, that means I love you with all my heart. Then that daddy, Brother Steve, he put that ring on. He said, son, don't matter what you've done, don't matter how far you've gone, it don't matter what you said about me, it don't matter all the lies, it don't matter all the deceit, don't matter what you have done, son, I want to let you know my love for you is unconditional. I don't just love you when you're good. I don't just love you when you're doing right. I love you regardless of what you've done. That's the kind of love we need, men. That's the kind of love we need. Not just for our families, our wives, our children, our church. We need to love people, the down and outers, those that don't smell as good as you smell, those that don't dress as good, those, my friend, that don't look as good. We need to love them like Jesus loved them.
But notice also, he put shoes on his feet, put a robe on him. That robe was used only for special occasions, birthdays, festive days. But he put shoes on his feet. They tell me that one of the first things when a person was taken captive as a slave is they would take their shoes away from them. I guess maybe to keep them from running, I don't know, but they would take their shoes. And a slave walked around barefooted. So all you little youngins that run around in here barefooted, just think about that, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. A slave walked barefooted, didn't wear shoes. But when the son came home, the father said, put shoes on his feet, because he's no longer a slave, he's my son. And thank God when Jesus saved us, when Jesus set us free, we're no longer a slave to sin in this world. We've been set free in Jesus. We have freedom in Christ. Hallelujah to God. And then I see here, he said, this was my son. And notice what the Bible said, and I'm about done. He said, this was my son. And the way this reads is this, who was dead and is now found, verse 24. Literally, this is what he says. For this is my son who was presumed to be dead, thought to be dead, given up for dead. I went to a camp meeting up in Brother Buddy Hoffner's. Many of you may know Brother Buddy Hoffner. Brother Buddy has the home full of boys and up in Concord last year, a year ago, in 1 year's time, Brother Buddy's wife died. He developed throat cancer. And then one of his girls had run away from home. Didn't know where she was. And then the call came one day that they had found some remains in Las Vegas, Nevada. They got a DNA sample and they confirmed it that it was his daughter. Here's a man that had presumed that his son was dead, given up to be dead, and now he's alive. Here's a son that went away, lied. And that's why he says here, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. That son, I believe he fell lower than dirt. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Dads, I want to challenge you this morning. When we give this invitation in just a minute, Dads, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to stand right here when we give this invitation. And I'm going to challenge you. Will you say, I want to have a love like the Father had for me? Lord, I want to have a love that you have for me. I want to be a man of love, a man of compassion, a man of power, a man of conviction, a man of courage. Story is told
many years ago, there was a wealthy man. He had an invalid son. He cared for him all of his life. The invalid son never could get out and play with the other boys, and he couldn't throw a ball. He was confined inside the house. As the son's health began to get worse and worse, the wealthy man commissioned an artist to come and paint a portrait of his son. The artist came and painted the picture of his son, hung it in the foyer of the house so that every time when people would come in, they'd see the picture of his son. Unfortunately, the boy died. They had his funeral. Time passed on. The wealthy man would walk by every day and see the picture of his son, think about his boy. Time went on, the years passed by, and this wealthy man, all of a sudden his health began to wane, and all of a sudden this wealthy man passed away. He had no descendants other than that one boy. He had no other body else. He had this huge mansion, had all these wonderful antiques and all this lavish belongings. So after he was buried, they announced they were going to have an auction one day. Crowds gathered. People came in. They looked over the entire house. I mean, it was gold, silver, all kind of precious things, beautiful furniture, wealthy stuff. And they just began to talk amongst themselves. I'm going to bid on this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to bid for that. Then the time came for the auctioneer to stand up. And as he stood up, he said, the first item up for bids today is a portrait of the owner's son. Nobody would come there for that. He started the bidding. He'll start me off this morning. He'll give you a dollar. He'll give you a dollar. Started the bidding. Nobody wanted to bid. And finally, one fellow raised his hand and offered a bid. Auctioneer, who'll make it two? Who'll make it two? Who'll make it none of them? Do I hear two? Do I hear two? No two. Do I hear two? No two. No, no. Going once? Going twice? Sold for a dollar to the man right there. Auction over. That ever who bought the picture of his son got the whole thing. Got the whole thing. You see, because I am the son, I got the whole thing. Because I've got the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got all the riches of the Father. If anybody gets speech from over prayer, his bad eyes are closed. I want to ask you this question this morning. I want to challenge, first of all the men that are here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm not a toddler today, but I'm going to still challenge you as a man this morning. I'm going to challenge you, men of God. Will you be the man of God that God wants you to be? Will you be the example to your home? You say, preacher, I'm not married. Will you be an example to those that are around you? I'm not going to ask you, this is not a day that we're going to lambast the daddies. No, that's not what this is for. This is not a day to slap the dads around and tell them how bad a dad they are. This is the day to say, dads, we stand together for our dads. Just join in.